Today's message I have is in everything, give thanks. Does everybody have a happy Thanksgiving Day?
Yes.
Awesome. What did you guys do on Thanksgiving Day?
Eat turkey.
Eat turkey?
Watch football.
Watch football?
Play Twister.
Play Twister? You play Twister?
All the adults and kids.
Oh my gosh, you're sore at all? You okay? What a good time to do it. What a good time to play Twister. What did anybody else do on Thanksgiving Day?
Dishes.
Dishes?
Spend time with family.
You with family? Awesome. Cool. Okay, so let me get this right. So on Thanksgiving Day, which was yesterday, you ate turkey? Well, every day today is Thanksgiving, right?
We actually had ours yesterday.
You see, you thought I was talking about Thursday, right? Weren't you? Didn't you? You automatically thought when I said, what did you do on Thanksgiving Day? You thought what?
Thursday.
You know you did.
Yes.
You know you instinctively went to what day?
Thursday.
It could have been Friday. It could have been Saturday. It could have been already been today. So when I say to you, what did you do on Thanksgiving Day? You instinctively thought Thursday. Shouldn't Friday been a day of Thanksgiving too?
Yes.
Shouldn't Saturday have been a day of Thanksgiving too?
Yes.
So when somebody like me asks you what you do on Thanksgiving Day, you need to say, well, what day are you referring to, actually? Was you referring to yesterday? The day of Thanksgiving? How many know for Christians every day ought to be a day of what?
Thanksgiving.
Amen
to that.
And the truth of the matter is, if you ask the secular world, what did you do on Thanksgiving Day? They are going to respond to you what? I watched the Macy Day Parade. I had turkey. I visited with my friends. That's what they're going to say. And we need to have a different attitude of gratitude. We need to clearly understand that for every one of us, every day is a day of what? Thanksgiving.
Amen.
But sometimes we wait for 364 days to do it all over again, don't we? We have made Thanksgiving Day a day of anything but thanks. We've made Thanksgiving Day a day to hurry up and get done so you can get to the mall. We've made Thanksgiving a day of hecticness, didn't we? This particular Thanksgiving Day, my daughter, Shauna and Desiree, they each made a turkey. And they made it in their special kind of way. And I'm sure they labored all day for that. And there was, well, you know, we're Italian. Well, me, but I'm kind of pseudo-Italian. I married one. So, it's by default. Because Italians don't become Irish. I can tell you that. It's the other way around, right? And so we had stuffed meatballs with provolone cheese in it. Oh, man, it's awesome. And I'm sure that, you know, the family, you know, worked pretty hard of putting that meal together, as probably most of you had too.
Amen.
And in one half an hour, guess what?
It's gone.
And the other things to be thankful for are plastic bags and bowls to take things home. That's it. That's what Thanksgiving Day has become, hasn't it? Oh, maybe we do a blessing before a meal because we're Christians. Maybe we do that. You know, we gather around and say, let's say a blessing. But is it really, truly a day of thanksgiving? Really? And should that day be any different than Friday after or the Wednesday before? No, it shouldn't be. And so we as Christians need to know that every day of our lives we need to have an attitude of gratitude. Every day, an attitude of gratitude. And I wonder truly, truly, really, truly, how many of us have the attitude of gratitude. Let's turn in our Bibles. We're going to look at one passage. We're going to look at this one first. Philippians 4, verse 4 and 5.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near.
Wow. We just sang that song, didn't we? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. We ought to have an attitude of gratitude. And the reason why we need to have an attitude of gratitude because of an attitude of ingratitude displeases the Lord. And you may not think that that's accurate, but it is. Does the Lord want us to be grateful?
Yes.
And does the Lord God want us to express it?
Yes.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And the best example of that was when Jesus Christ healed 10 lepers. That's probably the best example of displeasing the Lord for not being thankful. Healed 10. And they went away and only one came back and said what? Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. And did Jesus Christ rejoice with the one who came back? Was he rejoicing? No, he said, wait a second. Weren't there 10 of you? Where's the other 9? Where are the other 9? So I say to us this morning, where are the other 9? We have so much to be thankful for. Everybody in this place has something to be thankful for. And so the question that we need to ask this morning is, where's the other 9? Where are the other 9? Are they here today? Or are all of us the one that always comes back and gives them thanks? Is everybody in this room always the one that says, I thank you, Lord? Or sometimes do we take blessings for granted? How many take blessings for granted sometimes? We all do. I wonder how many of us thank God today for hot water. Probably not one. I wonder how many of us thank God we had a blanket last night and a pillow. We thank God for the little things in life. So we need to have an attitude of gratitude. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Have you ever rejoiced because of your storms? I wonder, truly wonder, how many of us thank God for your afflictions?
Oh, I do every day.
You must have them every day, huh? Because you do. Did you ever thank God for a little affliction? To say to you, thank you, Lord, for the thorn that makes me humble. Thank you, Lord, for the thorn that reminds me that I need to be more dependent on you than I need to be dependent upon me. Let me tell you something, church. Every time, you know, at AA, somebody will get up and they'll say, hi. By the way, I'm not from AA, but hi, I'm Pastor Tom, and I'm an alcoholic. Well, I'm not an alcoholic. But a confession from a pastor. Hey, I'm Pastor Tom, and I'm a health warrior. I worry about my health excessively. Anybody do that besides me? I have health anxiety. I worry excessively about my health. You too? How many health warriors we got in this room? Look, we're more common than you think, aren't we? I'm one of them. I've been a pastor for 34 years. I know Scripture. I've pastored churches. I know how to pray. But yet, the flesh makes me a worrier. I know the truth that sets me free. But I still have that excessive worry. And that's my problem. That's why I'm in the shape I'm in today. Worry. Worry. How many worriers have we got in this room? So, how can we have an attitude of gratitude? How can we rejoice in the Lord always through our worry? It's difficult. But it is possible. It is difficult, but it is possible. So how is it that we come and we thank the Lord and rejoice in the Lord always? I came yesterday here to decorate some trees. I was not in a good way. People that were here with me yesterday know I was not in a good way. It was bad. I did not sleep the night before. I did not. I've been adjusting some medications with me with my anxiety. And I did not sleep not one minute. And I came to church yesterday anyhow, and I was not in a good way. Not in a good way. And I called Bob, who was with me yesterday, and I said to Bob, I'm not in a good way. Bob was here, and Bush was here. I'm not in a good way. I was like the lowest of the lows yesterday. And I said to Bob, I need you to prepare tomorrow for me for a message in case I can't come. An attitude of gratitude goes a long way. An attitude of gratitude goes a long way. And last night when I went to bed, I said to my wife, Sissy, I said, you know what, I'm not taking any of that medication. I'm just going to bed. I slept all night like a baby. Got up this morning and said, let's go get them. We can do this. And the attitude of gratitude goes a long way. And so we have clearly got to understand that we need to rejoice in the Lord when? Always. In the storms and outside of the storms. You need to be in a spirit of thanksgiving. And sometimes that's hard. Let's look at another passage of scripture we have. We're all in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
Thankfulness is the key to being not what?
Anxious.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in what? In every situation. You know what? A month ago, before I got diagnosed with diverticulitis, I was a happy camper. Man, I was bebopping all over the place. You couldn't keep me down. There's no way to keep me down. I was everywhere, spreading the joy of the Lord. Top of the world. Not a care in the world. I'm serious. Presbyterian Hospital, Mercy Hospital, Shadyside Hospital, Montefiore Hospital, the Willows Nursing Home, the Heritage Nursing Home, Good Samaritan's Place, you know, Community Life Pittsburgh, East Wilkinsburg, Tarentum. I mean, Pastor Tom, where do you get all that energy at? I'm just praising the Lord. I am on top of the world. I am so healthy. What do you mean you got to stay in the hospital now? What do I got? Diverticulitis. What? Diverticulitis? And I need to stay in the hospital, have an IV? Hey, whoa. I didn't sign up for that. I got a funeral to do on Monday. I'm serious. Colin, you know that, Colin. I'm in the hospital on a Saturday, and they got me wired up with an IV, putting, you know, antibiotics in my veins so my colon don't perforate. And he says to me, you're going to have to stay. I said, hey, I'll stay on Sunday, but you got to discharge me Monday. He said, what are you talking about? You need 3 days worth of antibiotics. Oh, no, I got a funeral on Monday, dude. You got to get me out of here. You make sure that you discharge me at 9 o'clock on Monday morning. My wife will come get me. But I'll come back and you can plug it back in if you want to. That's the way I'm wired. My family knows it. That's the way I'm wired. Right? I called my good friend Pastor Colin. I said, Pastor Colin, I think I might need you to do a funeral for me on Monday. Right? You're not prepared for that. How many know sometimes you get thrown a curveball and you're not expecting it?
Yeah.
How many know you want the straight one down over the plate, right? And sometimes the curveball comes, right? And so you're laying there and you're trying to thank the Lord, right? You're thanking the Lord. And you're thanking the Lord. Saying, well, Lord, thankfully, Lord, it didn't perforate. Thank you, Lord. You know, we'll get this all taken care of. And so you go home for 14 days on antibiotics and you think you're better. You think you're better. And so I come to a board of directors meeting on a Tuesday. I'm hurting so bad. After 14 days of antibiotics, I buy a heating pad. I have a heating pad on my abdomen. They saw me at a board of directors meeting. I got a heating pad plugged, and I'm going. And I'm still bebopping off the walls, man. I'm still coming, right? I'm still coming. That's the way I'm wired. I got a heating pad on my stomach. It hurts me so bad. I'm going, what is this? I got it plugged into the wall. And immediately I'm going, so Wednesday morning I go back to the hospital. I go, hey, there's something wrong. They do another CT scan. And they say, oh man, I got bad news for you. Not only did it not go away, it's worse. You now have a micro perforation and an abscess on the outside of your colon in your stomach wall. I said, what? I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up for that. Well, now you got to stay. Well, I said, well, I stayed one day before. I got to stay two now. Oh, no. You're going to be there 4 or 5. And then the health worry starts kicking in. Help me understand that. The health worry starts to kick in. And it's hard to find an attitude of gratitude when the health worry starts to kick in. And the reason why it's hard to find the attitude of gratitude, because you're making it all about who?
You.
And you know that about yourselves, right? And I'll tell you how the anxiety for us health warriors kick in even a little more. They bring in a student nurse. The student nurse is hooking up my IV. The instructor comes in and says, "Hey, I'm sorry I couldn't be with you, but did you make sure you took the air out of that line before you stuck it in his arm?" And she says, "No." "I think so." So the instructor, "Well, let's make known so." So they take it back out, they put it in the garbage can, they squirt the flu back in, and she said, "Oh, good, you got the air out." And I said, "Oh, praise you, God, you got the air out. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus." I'm serious. She comes back in, she's going to reconnect it. The instructor comes and says, "Did you put alcohol on that wipe?" She goes, wait. "Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, praise you, Jesus.
Another girl.
Praise you, Jesus." And so it's hard to find the attitude of gratitude in the storms of life. How many understand that? But let me tell you where it's at. When you have the opportunity to rethink things through clearly. About not what's happening to you now, it's what the Lord has already prevented in your life from happening before.
Amen.
That's the attitude of gratitude. We just got a prayer request on our prayer chain from Sue Brecko. Anybody see it? Sue Brecko, you know Sue, our Sue. She sent out a prayer request for a woman named Chris. Christine is her real name, Chris. And it's on our prayer chain from Sue Brecko. And Chris is a social worker where Sue Brecko and I work. And Chris has a very, very bad case of rheumatoid arthritis. Unfortunately, she's my age. She's 64. And her hands are like this. She's a social worker. Her hands are like this. Her arthritis is so bad with her foot, they had to amputate her leg from the knee down last year. She's a giant of faith. She went to the hospital 2 weeks ago with a pain in her left side. I know what pain in the left side means. Guess what they diagnosed her with? Diverticulitis. They gave her 14 days of antibiotics and they sent her home. On Friday, this past Friday, this is what Sue sent the email out about, Chris started throwing up in the ladies' room and she spiked the fever. They sent an ambulance to take her to St. Margaret's, who referred her to Presby, because what happened was her diverticulitis, guess what? Her colon broke. And she became septic. She's on a ventilator in Presbyterian Hospital. They're planning to have surgery for her this coming Wednesday. And she will have a colostomy for 6 months and then reverse it. And the attitude of gratitude, when you hear things like that, you say to yourself, "Thank you, God, you put a hedge of protection around me." When you look at the circumstances of somebody else, thank God that his hedge of protection was over you. How many can say, "Thank God his hedge of protection was over you"?
Amen.
And all those things that we worry about and all those things of anxiety, we need to have an attitude of gratitude and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the shape I'm in. Not for the shape I think I'm in,
yes. But
the attitude of what I am in." How many are better off than you think you are? How many are healthier than you think you are? How many have more blessings than you think you have? It's true. And in order to have that, you need to come to him. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, in the storms and on the picnic days, on the mountains and in the valleys, every situation you need to be what? Thankful. Not just on the fourth Thursday in November, once a year. Not just when you win the Powerball. Not just when they come with the big check and the balloons for the publishing house clearing sweepstakes. By the way, I'm the only one that got that thing in the mail, so don't even worry about it. And I ordered a magazine to make sure I'm going to win too. An attitude of gratitude. Let's go to verse 8.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
The peace. Peace of God. Is the peace of God different than the peace of man?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Is the peace of God different than the peace you give yourself? Yeah. It sure is. Because the peace of God transcends what?
All
understanding. And will what? Guard your heart and guard your what? Oh, how many have an active mind? I mean, how many have a mind that just can write volumes? A mind that does not shut up. How many have a mind that has a mind of its own? And it can write volumes. It can write volumes of all of the things that's going to happen to you that's bad. How many here make mountains out of molehills? Who's really good at it? Okay, good. No, I think I'm better than you. I'm better than you. And in my learning experiences as a health warrior, if you look up a health warrior and find out what the symptoms are, some of you are going to say, man, that nailed that out of the park. You know, you go from doctor to doctor, hospital to hospital. You look up Dr. Google, find out all of the things that you're feeling. How many read all of the side effects on every medication that you have to take? Anybody do that? Ooh. Yeah, you do that? How many say, if you do that too many times, you ain't taking a baby aspirin? I mean, I tell you, man, you read the side effects on the baby aspirin, your stomach's falling out, man. I'm telling you right now. You are in bad trouble. How many love that Humira commercial, you know, for the golfer? The guy with the psoriatic arthritis, you know. I couldn't golf anymore, but now I'm taking this stuff, man. And I could just swing this golf like I could hit him out of the park. And then it gets 35 seconds, all the reasons why you shouldn't take it, right? Now, this is great stuff, but your heart could fall out, your liver could fall out on the street, your kidneys could fail tomorrow, you could turn jaundice, you could be dead by morning. Hey, but sign up for it. It's awesome stuff. It's awesome stuff. It's true. Hey, I'm Pastor Tom. I have health anxiety. I was sitting on my recliner chair 4 days after taking Flagyl. See, this is good for you to know about your pastor, huh? That he's human too, right? 4 days after taking this antibiotic Flagyl. Let me take Flagyl before. Flagyl will tear you up. Flagyl will tear you up. That's what they give you for a diverticulitis so you don't get C. diff. So I'm sitting on a recliner chair, right? And my lip starts to swell. Right here. No, just right here. And I'm looking at Sissy and I said, Sissy, is my lip swollen? She goes, well, it is on that one side. I said, where's the sign effect paper? Where's the sign effect paper? Oh my gosh. A serious reaction to taking Flagyl. If your lip swells up or your tongue swells up, call the ER. How many's been there? Come on, how many's been there? Come on, you guys all know you're sitting in here. Come on, you know you're in here, right? Yeah, you know it. So I called the ER, right? I said, my lip is swollen. She said, well, what happened to it? I don't know, but it's swollen. It says right on here. Oh, I stopped taking. No, you need to come down here right away. I need to come down here right away? Oh, you better, you know, get in here quickly, because if you're having a reaction, we need to take care of that. So I go running into the ER. Right, I have a private suite now down there. I run into the ER. They know me first. They say, hey, Pastor Tom, how you doing? Oh, my lip is all swollen. So they bring me into the ER. My lip is all swollen. Doctor looks at me and said, man, it is swollen, but it's only swollen right there. I said, I know. I must be having a reaction to the Flagyl. He goes, no, you ain't having a reaction to the Flagyl. They had you in the hospital 4 days on an IV. You'd have had that reaction by now. Yeah, but look, it's all swollen. She goes, well, I don't think it's that medication, but it's all swollen. Said, well, you know what? It is swollen. She said, well, I'll give you a shot of prednisone. They gave me a shot of prednisone, went home, and I'm thinking about it. I went, wait a second. I really looked on the inside. I said, oh, there's an ulcer there. That's when Ivy bumped me in the lip with her head. Ivy came jumping on my lap and she bumped me with her head and put a cut on my lip. I had an ulcer in my lip and it cost me $75 and a shot of prednisone to figure that out. What? Is with that? How many's been there? What is with that, Clyde? $75, a shot of prednisone, a trip to the hospital in an ER to figure out, oh yeah, Ivy bumped me in my lip. Oh, and peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your heart and guard your what? Your mind.
Hallelujah.
Guard your mind. How many need to have your minds guarded? Let's just be real, right? Let's just be real. Some of us need to have our minds guarded.
Yeah.
And the reason why our minds are not guarded is because we do not have an attitude of gratitude, and we are not rejoicing in the Lord when?
Always.
We're not rejoicing in the Lord always. You all know I had a hoarse voice, right? Don't sound too hoarse now, does it? What happened to that? I said, Lord, before I start preaching, clear this up so I'm able to speak. And I'm giving him an attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. How many's ever checked your blood pressure and it's through the roof? How many have your own blood pressure cuff? See, look at, we're all here. We are all in this room right now. Everybody who owns their own blood pressure cuff, stand up. Be counted. Come on. Be brave. Be stoic. You own your own blood pressure cuff. Stand up. And Clyde's got his hand up. See, here we are. You got two. Here we are. Eric, get your butt up, Eric. Eric's got a blood pressure cuff and a stethoscope. What?
I have a stethoscope.
Stethoscope, okay.
Blood pressure cuff on his Christmas list.
All right. Okay. All right. How many of you guys go into Walmart and put your arm in the little thing and check your blood pressure? How many is here? Okay, stand up if you're here. Come on, stand up. See, here we are. It's you. I knew it was you. It's you. Sit back down. Well, let me tell you how this works. So I wake up in the middle of the night because I'm a health warrior. Right? I'm a health warrior. So I wake up in the middle of the night and my heart's pounding. Anybody ever have a pounding heartbeat ever? Pow, 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 pow. How many of you know that's a stroke coming? It's happening. A stroke's coming. How many know you're like a second away from a stroke? You know, you are so close to having a stroke. Oh, you know, you want to be like Fred Sanford. Elizabeth! Elizabeth! It's coming home! It's the big one! So I get up in the middle of the night. My heart is pounding out of my chest because I'm a health warrior. I put my arm in my little personal blood pressure cuff. I got to go with a battery-powered one, you know. How many's got one of them babies? I mean, I got the electronic dude. Well, I'm reading that thing. It goes, 165 over 110. See, everybody's going, I did worse than I went. So I'm thinking, stroke city. So I decided to check the other arm. By chance, maybe, hey, something wrong with this arm, just this arm, right? I put on this one. If it were my right arm, it would be better than my left arm, because this is bad. I put on this one, 164 over 115. Whoa! I'm dying here, in my own bed. So I put it away. I go, okay, I'm going to calm down. You know, and with the good... How many know how to do that, right? But you don't do this because you'll be transcendent, you don't be meditating. You won't do that, right? Oh, no, this would be better. You don't want to do this. No lotus positions. Don't turn your knees like this. So I go to church on Sunday. I come here, I do the message, right? I'm still not feeling very well because I was up all night. So I go home Sunday afternoon. I said, I just checked that blood pressure one time. Oh my God, it's 162 over 110. Said, that's it. It's having a stroke. I'm having a stroke. I'm a health warrior, right? So I convince Sissy to take me to the ER. She looks at me and says, you're not going to the ER. Yeah, you're right. Let's go to urgent care. So we go to UPMC's urgent care, right? I'm sure I bypass the emergency ER. I go right to the UPMC urgent care. I walk in. They don't know me. I've had to introduce myself to those guys. They don't know me. Hey, I'm Pastor. What's wrong with you? I'm having a stroke. My blood pressure's through the roof. Well, let's bring you back right away. So the mule nurse is taking my blood pressure. I'm going, oh man, I know they're going to call the ambulance any minute. I know the ambulance is on the way, right? I'm sitting there, and I don't want to look at it. Take the blood pressure, and the mule nurse looks at me, looks at the machine, looks at me, looks at the machine. Said, dude, it's 128 over 72. What are you talking about? I said, is that a good machine? What do you mean it's 128 over 72? It's 160. Well, let's check the other arm. I said, yeah, check the other arm. She said, something wrong with that blood pressure cuff. Check the other arm. 119 over 74. I said, are you serious? Are you serious? The guy looks at me and says, you're the one that needs to be serious. He pulled up my records from UPMC. My blood pressure is always 128 over 70 something. What caused it to be 160 over 110? Not having an attitude of gratitude. You know what caused it to be high? No peace. No peace. Zero peace. Because you're concerned about who?
You.
If you have an attitude of gratitude and you leave it up to the Lord and say to the Lord God, Lord, you deal with it. You deal with it. I'm going to bed. You deal with it. I'm going to bed. I am learning something. I'm learning something. That when you have an attitude of gratitude and you rejoice in the Lord always, your heart and your mind will be guarded. So I got up here this morning and I told you, hi, I'm Pastor Tom. I'm a health warrior. I want to rephrase that. Hi, I'm Pastor Tom, and I used to be a health warrior. I buried that. And as my son-in-law Jim says, why resurrect a corpse?
Amen.
If you buried it, let it stay buried. And don't lie next to a dead body. Thank you, Jim, for those very good words. And if you are a health warrior in this room, and you have not learned to give it over to the Lord, it is time for you to bury it and leave it dead. And do not try to resurrect it. There's not one single thing any of us can do in this room by worrying, not one second. Not one second. So what must you do? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say what?
Rejoice.
Family, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble. Sue, read it.
Whatever
I saw you.
Is right.
I saw whatever you over there have some anxiety.
Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Whatever is true. Whatever is, let that sink in. Whatever is true. Not the lies that your mind tells you. Not the lies that Satan tries to feed you. It's whatever is what?
True.
Whatever is true. This morning when I awoke, I made a list for myself. I put on the top of my paper, whatever is true. Whatever is true. And I wrote a whole list of things that is true. And I put on the other side what my mind tells me that's a lie. And I wrote them. And I compared them to the truth. Guess what? The truth always overweighs the lies.
Amen.
How many have a mind that lies to you? Tells you stories, tells you, runs pictures and movies in your mind. All lies. All lies. And you need to focus on what is what?
True.
Whatever is true. Not whatever is a lie. Whatever is the truth. How many of you are very healthy in this room, considerably so? That's the truth. That's the truth. In this church, we have people that have some affliction. That's true. But you want to be more like the Apostle Paul. And my daughter Desiree told me that. The Apostle Paul prayed three times to have a thorn removed from his side. And each of the three times the Lord God said no. And he finally answered that rhetorically. He said, for my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is manifested in your weakness. You know what I've learned through this episode I'm going through now? To be more dependent upon the Lord and less dependent upon me. Because when you are wired that kind of person, you just go anywhere and do anything. When you're wired that way like me, you just think that you're invincible. You just think that you can do anything to the Lord. God says, it's time. As Jesse had told me the other day, it's time for a little humility. It's time for the Lord God to remind you, you can be taken out at any minute. You can be brought to your knees. And you have to learn to lean on my grace. How many need to learn on lean on His grace a little more? It's the truth. I want to give you some things for which you need to be thankful for today. I want you to never forget what I'm about to tell you now. I made a list. We need to remember to be thankful in everything. For we know that God loves those who respond to His call. How many responded to His call? I have. God loves us. Loving God presumes obedience to His will. Be thankful that He has a will for you. Be thankful. We can therefore glorify in our tribulations. And reason why? Because we know that produces character. And in turn, produces hope. And we know that hope does not what? Disappoint us. We can rejoice in persecution knowing that the kingdom of heaven is ours. Knowing that our reward in heaven will be great. Knowing that trials produce patience. Knowing that patience produces perfection. And perfection produces completeness. We need to be a thankful people. We need to all have attitudes of gratitudes. And we need not just be thankful on that fourth Thursday in November. We need to be thankful when? Every day. And rejoice when? Always. And give thanks in what circumstances? All. And then the peace of God. The peace of God. That when the student nurse comes in and says, I don't remember if I got air out of the line. The peace of God transcends that. And says, well, either she did or she didn't. I guess I'll find out in a minute or so. If I open my eyes and see the Lord, I hope she gets the air out of the line for the next guy. The peace of God that transcends all of life's understandings. On January the 4th, I'll be off for about 4 weeks because I have to go and have surgery to get this whole thing all fixed up. And I'm going to have the peace of God that transcends all of life's understandings. It's going to be okay. I talked to my good brother Clyde. He had this little picnic done too. A little worse than this one. But you had this same kind of thing done, diverticulitis. So if you had never had it before, who's ever had diverticulitis? Anybody ever have it before? Okay, two, three of us, four of us, okay. It's not a picnic. But I want you to know that when we all pull through this, when it's your turn, I'll come to your picnic. I'll say, I understand. So how was your Thanksgiving Day? What did you do on your Thanksgiving Day?
Learn about being thankful.
Which day do you mean?
Which day are you thinking about? Giving Him what? Kelly, thanks. Right. How many's going to have a Thanksgiving Day today? Awesome. Now, I want you to plan to see with somebody when you leave this place. I want you to invite somebody to your Thanksgiving Day, right? And they're going to say to you, what are you talking about next year? No, today. Let's give them thanks. Who knows? You might plant a seed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for an attitude of gratitude. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be thankful in all of our circumstances. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be thankful every day and to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we say rejoice. And all of God's people said,